There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
A stormy night. In a small town bus station. A cleaning lady sweeps the floor. On one bench, two people doze off. On another bench, a woman sits with her suitcase on the floor next to her. She opens her purse and puts something in it. She looks at her watch, then looks at the wall clock, which reads 2:05, then looks back at her watch. She gets up and goes to the station clerk.
Excuse me. The bus to Cortland.
What about her?
Well, it was due a half an hour ago.
Yep, half hour ago.
When will it be in?
Hard to say. Been raining hard, road slick, maybe a bridge or two out. That'll play hard with the schedule.
Well, when do you think it will be in?
She'll be in when she'll be in, that's all. I told you that the last time you asked, miss.
The last time I asked? The last time I asked was right now. Look, all I want from you is a civil answer.
You're getting a civil answer. Trouble is, every 10 minutes you're up here requiring one. Situations just don't change that rapidly. Now, you want to know about the Cortland bus. It's late. It was late when you asked a half hour ago. Late when you come back 15 minutes later, and it's late now. And all the asking in the world ain't going to push it none.
But this is the first time I've been up here. The very first time. Either you need your eyes...
On the floor next to the clerk is a suitcase that exactly matches her own. She looks back and forth between the two.
Now what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing's the matter.
She slowly walks back to the bench where she was sitting.
Millicent Barnes, age 25, young woman waiting for a bus on a rainy November night. Not a very imaginative type is Miss Barnes, not given to undue anxiety or fears, or for that matter, even the most temporal flights of fancy. Like most young career women, she has a generic classification as a, quote, girl with a head on her shoulders, end of quote. All of which is mentioned now because in just a moment, the head on Miss Barnes's shoulders will be put to a test. Circumstances will assault her sense of reality, and a chain of nightmares will put her sanity on a block. Millicent Barnes, who in 1 minute will wonder if she's going mad.
Millicent gets up and looks at the checked luggage.
Well, shall we run through it again, miss?
Oh, no, thank you. But well, I was just noticing it. It isn't very much, but that bag.
What about it?
Well, it's just like mine. It's identical, even to the broken handle.
What is this, some kind of a game?
What?
That is your bag, lady. You checked it.
Oh, no, that isn't my bag. It looks just like my bag, but my...
Next to the bench, her suitcase is now gone.
Will you go over there and sit down? You're either walking in your sleep or hungover or something. Go back over there and sit down and breathe through your nose and let me read my magazine. When the Cortland bus comes, there'll be a loud sound of an engine, door opening, People will come in here. Then you'll know the bus is here.
But I didn't check my bag. And anyway, when I saw that, my bag...
She turns and walks away from the clerk. Sits down on the bench. Looks down again at the floor next to the bench. Turns and looks at the clerk, who glares at her. She goes into the ladies' restroom. The cleaning lady looks at her with surprise. Millicent washes her hands.
Are you all right, miss?
Yes, of course I'm all right. I'm perfectly all right. Why, don't I look all right?
You look fine. You look just fine. It's just that when you were in here before...
Before? What do you mean, before? I've never been in here before.
Honey, you were just in here a few minutes ago.
Me? I've never been in here before. What's the matter with this place, anyway? Somebody keeps taking my bag, somebody tells me I keep asking about the bus, and now you tell me I've been in here before.
Now, just take it easy, miss. Everything's going to be all right.
Well, of course everything's going to be all right. There's nothing wrong to begin with. The only thing wrong with you people is you need some sleep or something.
She opens the door and turns back. In the mirror, she sees two images of herself, one in the ladies' room and one on the bench.
Let me get you a cold cloth, honey. I don't think you're well.
The cleaning lady brings her a wet paper towel.
No, I don't need that. I'll be all right. I must be overtired. But I'll be all right.
She opens the door. The bench is now empty, but her suitcase has reappeared. She goes back and sits on the bench, reaches down and puts her hand on the suitcase. She gets up and starts toward the clerk. Turns and walks over to the other bench where the two people are asleep.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I wonder if you saw someone sitting in my seat a few moments ago.
I don't think so, miss. Of course, I wasn't looking very close.
What's the trouble?
Oh, no trouble. I just thought I saw somebody I knew.
In here? Oh,
thank you. Sorry to have disturbed you.
The man rests his head down again. She walks toward the checked baggage area, where now there is no suitcase matching hers. The suitcase is still next to the bench. She sits down again.
What's the matter with me? What on earth is the matter with me? What's happening? Delusions. That's what they are. They're delusions. I must be sick. I must be running a fever.
Putting her hand on her forehead.
I'm not even warm. I don't have any fever. No fever at all.
Looking at the cleaning lady, who trembles and retreats into the ladies' room.
Excuse me, miss.
Yes. Oh. Yes, what is it?
Your bag. I think you dropped it.
Handing her the purse.
Oh, thank you.
The man sits next to her.
Bus is late, isn't it?
It seems so. It's over half an hour late. You do mean the bus to Cortland, don't you?
That's the one.
I was supposed to be in Syracuse tonight by 10. The planes were all grounded, so I took a cab from Binghamton. The darn thing skidded and ran into a tree a few miles outside of here. I had to walk all the way into town to get here.
He looks at her.
Forgive me, miss. You're not ill, are you?
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I really don't.
Was there something I can do?
I don't know. It's just that all sorts of queer things have been happening to me. I've been seeing things.
Seeing things? What sort of things?
I'm not sure I should tell you. You probably want to move to another part of the room or call the police or an ambulance or something.
Why don't you tell me? Maybe I can help. Incidentally, my name is Grinstead. Paul Grinstead. I'm from Binghamton.
How do you do? I'm Millicent Barnes. At least I was Millicent Barnes. I'm a private secretary. I quit my job here on Thursday, and I got another job in Buffalo. That's where I'm going tonight, to Buffalo. Everybody keeps telling me that I've been here before. That man who takes the tickets, he says I keep asking about the bus. And the woman in the powder room, she says I've been in there before, and I haven't been. And my bag here. My bag!
There it is.
Oh. Oh, thank God. For a minute, I thought everything was starting all over again. That man said I checked it, and I hadn't. But there was a bag almost identical to mine in the baggage room. And then when I came out of the powder room, it wasn't there.
Go on.
Well, it sounds very strange, but when I came out of the powder room, I looked in the mirror, and I could see the whole waiting room in the mirror. And
what did you see, Miss Barnes?
I saw myself sitting right here on this bench.
It's delusions.
Yes. Yes, that's what it must be, delusions, some sort of delusions. But I'm not sick. I don't have a temperature. I'm not running a fever. But it's not just seeing things that don't exist. Why did that man and that woman say they'd seen me before?
I don't know. This one's tough to figure out.
Well, what's happening to me? What's wrong? I'm not some sort of kook. I've never had any trouble like this before. I mean, trouble with my mind.
Oh, of course you haven't. There's an explanation someplace. There's a reason. Maybe...
Maybe what?
Maybe there's someone here who resembles you. That could be it, you know? Or maybe someone playing some kind of a joke or something.
Oh, is that possible? Oh, that's too fantastic. Oh, and that doesn't explain about the bag. And anyway, if there is such a person, where is she? Where is this person?
Buster Cortland, Syracuse, Buffalo. Now arriving.
Let me take that for you. Looks heavy.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind.
Forget it. You're easy to be kind, too.
No, I mean more than just kind. We better get on the bus.
I'll take your bag.
All right.
She hands her ticket to the bus driver. She looks up through the window into the bus. She runs back into the bus station.
Millicent, what's the matter? Wait a minute.
On the bus, a woman who looks identical to Millicent. Millicent lies down on the bench. The cleaning lady hands Paul a wet towel, which he puts on Millicent's forehead.
On our way. You and the lady coming or aren't you?
No. We'll wait for the next one.
Next one ain't due till 7 in the morning. You got a long wait.
That's all right.
Okay.
I'm shutting off some of these lights. When not in use, turn off the juice. That's what I always say.
Well, best be getting home. Oh, I sure hope she feels better.
Thank you. You've been very nice.
Oh, it's all right, but offhand, mister, I'd say she needed some looking after. You know what I mean.
Tapping on her head. Paul sits down next to Millicent.
Feeling better?
Bus.
It had to leave. There'll be another before too long.
You didn't get on.
That's all right. I'm this late already. A few more hours won't make any difference.
Been thinking about something. It's very odd, but I've been remembering.
Remembering what?
Something I read or heard about a long time ago.
She sits up.
About different planes of existence. About two parallel worlds that exist side by side. And each of us has a counterpart in this world. And sometimes, through some freak, through something unexplainable, this counterpart, after the two worlds converge, comes into our world, and in order to survive, it has to take over.
Take over?
Replace us. Move us out so that it can live.
That's a little metaphysical for me.
I remember reading it somewhere. Each of us has a twin in this other world. An identical twin. Maybe that woman I saw.
Millicent, there's another explanation. There has to be. One that comes with more reason.
This other woman, my counterpart.
Forget about it, please. Don't think about it. I just thought of something. I've got a good friend, lives in Tully. I'll call him. Maybe he'll bring his car down here for us. He might even be able to drive us into Syracuse. I'll call him. All right, Millicent? Shall I call my friend?
She stares ahead blankly. Paul walks toward the station clerk.
Unasked, I'll tell you what I think. I'd say she's got a leak in her attic. Parallel planes. Counterparts in another life. You got a thing about sick people? Is that it?
Poor kid. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Shaking his head.
Go call your friend.
Huh?
Your friend in Tully, the one with the car.
I don't have any friend in Tully. She needs help, medical help. I figured it would be easier this way. I figured she'd come along. Poor kid. Can I use it?
Go ahead.
Moving the desk phone towards Paul.
Who are you going to call?
The police, I guess. I think they're the ones that could help us.
Tell you the truth, she kind of gives me the willies. I'd as lief she got out of here somehow.
Millicent looks around. goes to the ladies' room.
Where are you?
Turns on the light.
Where did you go?
Looking around the room.
What do you want? Where are you?
Paul walks toward
Millicent.
The ladies' room.
Are you all right?
Yes. I'm all right.
She steps out.
How about getting some fresh air?
All right.
They walk together through the station. Paul picks up Millicent's hat and gives it to her. They go outside. A police car drives up. Two officers get out. Millicent runs back into the station, but the officers grab her and put her in the car. They drive off. Paul goes back in the station.
Did you get her off all right?
Yeah. They're going to take her to the hospital for observation.
What was she talking about? The thing about another life.
I don't know. It's part of her illness, I guess. You said the next bus is at 7?
Got about 4.5 hours, pal. You can take a snooze on that bench. Be all alone. No noise whatsoever. This place like a tomb between now and morning.
Maybe I will get some sleep.
He goes back to the bench. Takes his briefcase off the bench. Takes his hat off. Loosens his tie. Goes over to the water fountain. Looks back at the bench where his briefcase is now missing. A man resembling Paul runs out of the station. Paul runs out after him. Chases after the other man.
Hey!
The other man turns and looks back at Paul and smirks and looks back again and keeps running. Paul stops.
Hey! Where are you?
Looking all around.
Obscure metaphysical explanation to cover a phenomena. Reasons dredged out of the shadows to explain away that which cannot be explained. Call it parallel planes or just insanity. Whatever it is, you find it in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by John Brom. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Vera Miles. Also starring Martin Milner. With Joe Hamilton, Naomi Stevens, Therese Lyon, Ferris Taylor, Edwin Rand. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Bud S. Friend. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated Title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.